I mean, but then he said,
water,
you know,
coming.
But, but you
I know, you gotta breathe.
But did you hear what he said?
I know. Breathe. You just gotta be, get it together. You gotta get together, girlfriend. You gotta get it together.
We always use laughter to soften you up. So, okay, guys, we gave instructions to the ladies last week, so we're going to give you instructions today. We are speaking really exclusively to the wives that are here today, but we're also speaking to the single guys that are here today, because wives, for you, this is some stuff that you can take and immediately put into practice in your marriage, and things that you can do to empower your marriage to be great, to redeem your marriage, to get it back to where God wants it to be. Those of you that are single guys, maybe you're in a relationship, maybe you're looking to be in a relationship, this is a great filter through which to take the women that you're looking at through. Because if you're considering, you know, popping the question, tying the knot, dropping the knee, spending the thousands of dollars for a ring, then you really should know what you're getting into. And so, single guys, just listen today. Listen carefully today. So that you can connect with the woman that that God wants you to connect with. I want to begin this morning with really a quote from one of the greatest theological films, messages that are really out there for marital relationships. It's called My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And in that, you know, there's all sorts of turmoil and tension, and there's the relationship and the different nationalities and all the things. And in the midst of this, Tula, who's the daughter, gets really irritated with the dad because she wants to break out. She wants to do what, you know, she wants to do. She's in her mid-20s already. She's ready to do these things, and the dad just says no. And, of course, my favorite part of the movie is when the dad's sitting in the corner, "Why you leave me?" But that's my favorite part, personally. If you've not seen it, you really shouldn't. Guys, if you've not seen it, you probably should. It'll make you understand so much about your wife. But as you watch the movie, there's this interesting scene where the daughter, Tula, and the mom, Maria, are sitting there. And the daughter says, you know, it's impossible. There's absolutely nothing I can do because dad is the head of the home. And that's true. And she's like, yes, that's right. But then she makes this quote, and I think it's on your notes for you. Let me tell you something, Tula. I can't do her accent, so I'm not going to try. The man is the head, but the woman is the neck. And she can turn the head any way she wants. Now, see, there's so much truth to that. I mean, there really is, because, ladies, if you don't realize it, you have so much power in the relationship. And it goes far beyond even the difference between male and female and him thinking you're cute or sexy or whatever. It goes far beyond that. There's so much power that you have in the relationships, and sometimes you don't even realize it. And sometimes that power that you have, because you don't realize it, is used in a fashion that actually creates some negativity within the home. It creates some problems. It creates some difficulty. And so the big idea for today, and by the way, guys, really quickly, before I get here, time out real quick, I'm sorry. Guys, I told the ladies last week, no elbowing, no looking, just look straight. Guys, I'm just telling you, if you want to have a nice evening, afternoon, dinner out with your spouse, just keep looking straight. If I say anything that's somewhat hysterical or comical or fits your wife, just sit there, let her laugh, don't say a thing. If you've got your arm around your wife, don't do one of these things. Don't do that. Because I may not see you, but she will. And it's all over with. Just don't do it. So just keep looking forward. No amens, you know. Just, ladies, you can amen all you want, but guys, you just sit there quietly. So here is the big idea. Ladies, the key to being a great wife is using your power for good and not evil. Ladies, the key to being a great wife is using your power for good and not evil. Now, you go, well, I just don't like that. You know what? Deal with it. Your husband dealt with it last week. You can deal with it this week. That's why I wore purple. It's a very soothing color. You can't get quite as angry at me. So, but it's coming from God. But here's, listen, you ladies, you have so much power in the relationship. You, by the very look on your face, can turn a decision that your husband is thinking about making. You, by not saying a word, can create so much tension in the household. You, by simply giving him a raised eyebrow, can change the very direction of your entire family. You know that's right, don't you? See, you're like, you're giving away our secret. It's true. And we know, you know this, at least in part. And so here's the thing. With that power that you have, and by the way, with that power that God has given you, use it for good and beneficial and positive and encouraging things in your household. Because you have power. I know oftentimes we think about this and we read the Bible, and maybe you grew up in church and you heard it talked about, this idea of submission and the husband's head and all this stuff, and the woman's supposed to be this like second tier. That is not it at all. That's not what the Bible teaches. That is a poor understanding of Scripture. What it does say and what it does teach is that the wife and the husband are to be combined as one. And that the husband has a role to play, and we talked about that last week. But just as the husband has a role to play, and guys, we are responsible for that. And by the way, guys, if you're sitting there going, yeah, my wife needs to listen to this, let me tell you why your wife needs to listen to this. It's probably because you're not playing your role the way you're supposed to. Because I have yet to meet a wife who is married to a man who loves her desperately, who makes every decision for her benefit, who always consults her and asks for her counsel, who always keeps her as his main priority, that has any difficulty following a man like that. But sometimes, even in a man like this, there can be some background, there can be some things that make it difficult. And so, ladies, what I want to talk to you about today is how to use that power that God has given you in your marriage for good and not evil. And I want to begin with probably a passage that if you've got tomatoes with you this morning, don't throw them right away. Just let me finish. Because in this passage, Proverbs 31, if you've been to church at all, you're like, Proverbs 31. The Proverbs 31 woman, every woman I know hates her, okay? Because she's perfect, right? She gets up early in the morning, and she makes this, and she does this, and she does that. Listen, Proverbs 31 woman, I don't believe truly existed. What I believe it is I believe it is an analogy, a way to put all these pieces together of the beauty that is womanhood, wifehood, motherhood. And it connects all the pieces. It doesn't mean that you have to be perfect in every area. Just listen, all of these areas combined. Look at this. This is what a woman is supposed to look like and supposed to be like as she follows passionately after God. So what I want to begin with is Proverbs chapter 31, verses 30 and 31, because I think this is so important to put this in context with our culture. He begins, "Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last." Now, when we think and when we watch our culture and it talks about women and wives and all these different things, it's always talking about beauty or charm or, you know, all these different things. But the Bible says, listen, those things don't last. Those things aren't substantial. Those things aren't what I'm looking at when it comes to a woman who is to be someone after my own heart. A wife and how that she's supposed to work and be within the marriage relationship. That's not what I'm looking for. And he says this, "But a woman who fears the Lord is greatly praised." He says, listen, do you want to understand, ladies, if you want to use the power that God has given you to do good and not evil in your marriage, the first thing that you need to do is you need to have a healthy understanding, a healthy respect, a healthy awe of who God is. We read this in our modern culture and we think fear, afraid, that's not what it means. It means reverence, awe. Realizing who God is and how awesome and how great and how powerful he is, and that if God is for me, then nothing can be against me. And if God has given me this role, I'm going to play that role. I'm going to trust God above all things else and do that. And a woman who does that is greatly praised. A woman who can get that right, a woman who can have that relationship with God correct, that is the beginning process of being a wife who is able to use her power for good. Good. And not evil. He continues. He says, "Reward her for all she has done." Do you know, ladies, that God literally has said that when you honor him first and you begin to passionately pursue him, that all of the things that you do through your day that you feel go unnoticed, he notices. All those things, and I know it's a joke, you know, but I'm sure that at least in a crowd this size, that some husband at some point in time has said this when he's walked home, you know, if you're a stay-at-home mom and you walk in, you go, what did you do all day? That, don't ever say that, by the way. That is so stupid. You're like stepping in a bear trap and gnawing your foot off all at the same time. So just don't do that. But it's like you step into that and you're doing so many things for your family, for your kids, and for all these different things, and you feel as if it goes unnoticed. Can I tell you something? When you put God first, God doesn't miss it. He sees it, and he desires to reward you, to give you good things for his benefit. And I love how he wraps this up. He wraps it up this way. He says, let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Let her deeds, let her actions declare her praise. In other words, let what she does speak for itself. Let her actions actually tell how great she is. You know, one of the things that I think, and Trace and I have counseled enough, and we've talked to enough, and I grew up, those of you that are new, you may not know this, but I grew up with three sisters. I was the only boy. I now have two daughters, a wife, and a little white fluffy dog, and even that's a female. So I swim in an estrogen ocean, okay? So I know all about some of these things, at least as much as a male can understand. So when I say I know this from kind of watching it, but I don't know it, obviously, from experiencing it. But one of the things that I think is so necessary, ladies, for you to understand is that you don't have to plead your own case. You don't have to plead your own case. You don't have to tell everyone about the things that you've done. Instead, allow your actions and how you live your life to speak for themselves. But I think the problem and some of the reason, ladies, that you don't want to do that is because you are afraid of what your actions may say about you. Because you've been using the power that you have for your own benefit or for negative things in your home instead of for good. In fact, what I want you to do this morning as I kind of continue, I want you to try to have an out-of-body experience, okay? Just kind of remove yourself from yourself and look at your life. Look at how you interact with your family. Look at how you interact with your husband specifically, and begin to look at your actions. And if it were another woman that you didn't know, and you looked at the actions that you commit and you do on a regular basis, what would you say about that woman? If you didn't know her context, if you didn't know her understanding, if you didn't know her situation, if all you saw were her actions, what would you think about it? Because here's what often happens. You do things that you know are probably not right, but you excuse them because of the circumstances that you're currently in. Well, I do this because my husband, da 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 da. Well, I said that because my kids, da, 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 da. And we make excuses for using the power that God has given you to equip and enable and help your marriage be better, to actually erode and undermine the very thing that God has called you to be a part of in that marriage relationship between your husband and yourself. So use your power for good and not evil. What I want to do is I want to give you four power plays. I think other than three people, nobody knows what a power play is because it's hockey. But those of you that like hockey know what that is. But ladies, let me just tell you, here's what a power play is, all right? A power play is you have actually more people than the other people have, and you can overwhelm the situation, and you can make it happen. Because we're going to talk about using your power that you have in your marriage relationship for good. And the power that you have, if you begin to use it for good and not harm, if you begin to use it to encourage instead of manipulate, if you use it in a fashion that actually builds up instead of tears down, it actually becomes so overwhelming and so pervasive that by the very power of that which God has given you, you can begin to redeem and turn your marriage around. And there are four ways that you can do it. Four power plays. First one's this. Extend him your partnership. Extend him your partnership. Ladies, just about more than anything else, your husband wants somebody that he can do life with. He wants someone to share an adventure with. He wants someone to be a camaraderie, a companion, a co-adventurer with him. You wonder why he loves to go and hang out with the guys, because that's a part of the nature of guys. They want someone to do it with. You, as ladies, you know, when you go to the bathroom, it's impossible to go by yourself, right? Right? I mean, if I'm wrong, just tell me, no, you're wrong. But if I'm right, say, yeah, you're right. Okay. Right? So here's the reality. Guys are the same way, but not in the bathroom thing. But we want to go out and do stuff with our friends because we want to be able to then 10 years from now sit and talk about, hey, you remember when you broke your arm and you fell off? And, oh, it's great. Because we want that. And if you really want to use your power for good and not negative and not evil in your marriage relationship, one of the first things you need to do is to extend him your partnership. You are his partner in life. You are to be someone that comes alongside him and enjoys the journey with him. Now, I'm just going to say this really quickly because oftentimes what happens is as you get married and when you first get married, and those of you that are newlyweds, you're like, oh, this is easy for us. Just wait till kids show up. It changes everything. Everything begins to alter, and the transition begins to take place, and weird things and smells begin to happen in your home, and you don't know what has happened to your relationship. And this partnership, this working together, begins to become stressed and begins to become difficult. And it's something that you have to fight for and work for. And I want to show you this, Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. This is the very beginning of time. God has created the world. He spoke everything into being. He crafted Adam out of mud and spit, which just remember that, guys. We're dirt and spit. Just remember that, okay? That's what we are, dirt and spit. And so God crafts Adam, and he looks at Adam, and he realizes that Adam needs help. Look at this, Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, talking about Adam. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds, all the wild animals, but there was still no helper. Underline and circle that word. There was still no helper, partner, compatriot, someone who he could be with, just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. You realize the woman is the only creature not made from dirt? Think about it. Okay, you're kind of from dirt because Adam was made from dirt and you got him from dirt. But you get the idea. Ladies, you're a unique creation of God. You are something different than the man. You are crafted special and have a unique purpose and calling given to you by God. And I want you to see Adam's reaction. This may be one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man at last. Ladies, when's the last time your husband went, at last? That should be a normal occurrence, not maybe the at last, but the excitement of spending time with you, the excitement of enjoying something together, the excitement of doing something together. And guys, by the way, if it's difficult, listen, if you have small kids at home, guys, you have to work at this just as much as your wife does. You have to plan stuff and put stuff out on the calendar and do that so that you are spending time together. It has to be intentional. It can't happen accidentally because the kids will always be there until they're not. And then it's just the two of you. Just think about that. Okay. But as you think about this, ladies, as you are supposed to extend him your partnership, you have to understand that when God created Eve, he created her unique and special to perfectly fit with Adam. Perfectly fit with Adam. If you are married, God has called you, ladies, to be the perfect counterpart to your husband. He has called you to work and partner alongside with him in his dreams, hopes, to be that person that helps him accomplish things he could not do on his own. But the question is, are you being the counterpart or are you being counterproductive? Are you being the one that works with or that works against? Because here's the thing, ladies. If you're married, you are filling a role that only you can fill. That is a part of your identity. That is nothing to be ashamed of. That's nothing to be doubted. That's nothing to be put down. That is something to be embraced and loved because it is a part of how God made you unique and special. So extend him your partnership. The second power play that you can use is to show him respect. Show him respect. You say, well, what is respect? Well, sometimes when I struggle finding out and trying to understand what a word means, I often will try to do the opposite of the word. So what is disrespect? When you disrespect somebody, what does that look like? Well, you don't listen to them. You don't pay attention to them. You don't ask their counsel. You don't weigh what they have to say as very important. You make them feel as if they don't matter. You disregard them really on a regular basis as if they're not even there. And so if we were to take this word respect and looking at it from a disrespect, and we say, okay, it's the opposite of disrespect, then it would look like this, that you listen to him. You hear what he has to say, and you seek his counsel above all others. You desire for him to give you input in the decisions that you have to make on a regular basis because you know that he loves you more than anyone else. You go, well, I don't know that. You know what? That's something that you guys have to resolve. That's something that you have to work on. But here's the thing. It is not an option, ladies, for you to disrespect your husband. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. However, each one, he's talking to the man, however each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife, what's that next word? Must respect her husband. Does it say as long as he does the right thing? Does it say, as long as he picks up his dirty, filthy underwear after he gets out of the shower? Does it say, as long as he doesn't leave the toilet seat up in the middle of the night so that when I go in, I don't fall through? Does it have any indicator or any condition upon that? No. You see, ladies, you must respect your husband in the same way as husbands, you must love your wife. It is not an option. It is a command from the very hand, mouth of God to you as ladies. You must respect your husband. You say, well, I don't think so. He has not earned my respect. Guess what? When you said, I do, the idea of earning it went out the window. Now, guys, let me tell you something. If you don't treat your wife with love and honor, you are making it incredibly difficult for her to respect you. If you don't treat her in a fashion that holds her in the highest of esteem and cherishes her, you don't know what that word is, guys? Look it up. It's a good one. Then you make it difficult for her to respect you. But ladies, let me tell you something. It works the same way. When you respect your husband and you honor him and you listen to him and you ask for his counsel, do you know what that does in him? It begins to reawaken or kindle or pour gasoline on the fire of his love for you. It goes both ways. And so, ladies, if you want to use your power for good, learn to show him respect. And you go, well, I think I do. Well, let me ask you, have you ever complained about your husband to someone else? Have you ever picked up the phone and called your mom and said, you will never know what he did? Or sitting around coffee tables in your local Starbucks or Benjamin's or someplace like that. Or Culver's. That's a good place to sit and talk to. And complained with your other girlfriends about your husband. Or you didn't complain. You shared concerns. In Jesus' name. Let me tell you something, ladies. You have just eroded the respect that your husband needs. Just like you need to be secure in his love, he needs to be secure in his and your respect for him. And let me tell you something else, ladies. If you are willing to disrespect the one that you say you love most in this world, do you know what you're saying about every other relationship in your world? You're willing to throw that one underneath the bus too. And so, ladies, let me just tell you, this is just one guy who grew up with three girls and has two girls and, you know, estrogen breaststroke going on. You know, I'm just swimming in it. Let me just tell you something. If you have women in your life who are willing to throw their husband under the bus, run away from them as fast as you can, because they'll throw you under the bus just like that. And you don't need a friend like that. Show him respect. Not because he's earned it, not because he deserves it, but because God has called you to do that. Third power play. Give him your loyalty. Give him your loyalty. You ever betrayed your husband's confidence? You ever taken a private conversation between the two of you and told someone else about it? You know, there's a lot of things that guys can get past. You know, one of the biggest things that men struggle getting over? Betrayal. Betrayal. Because as men, for some reason, it's kind of built into our nature and our culture and our design that we want loyalty. We want to have respect. We want to have those things that we can trust and depend and hope and rest in. We want those things. That's a part of who we are. And if the very person who said that they have given us all and they love us more than anything else, if we can't trust them, who can we trust? And I'll just put this out there. If they can't trust you, ladies, they will find someone else they can trust. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just telling you, they will find someone else they can trust. My hope would be it'd be another guy, but it may not be. Show him the loyalty. Give him your loyalty. Don't tear him down. Commit yourself wholly and solely to him. When you say I do to him, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, for fatter, for shorter, whatever the case may be, when you said I do to him, you were making a verbal contract saying you will always be my main priority. Always. But here's what happens, and I'm just going to be just honest. Kids come along, right? And oftentimes, the responsibility tends to completely fall on the wife or primarily fall on the wife to watch over the kids, right? And they become totally dependent upon you. I mean, they cannot survive without you. And so it demands a huge amount of your attention. You know, as they get older and they become toddlers, I'll just share this. Tracy told me to make sure I say this. You know, you can't even get into the bathroom to go to the bathroom without them showing up, right? If you've got toddlers, you know, they're like on your lap when you're trying to go to the bathroom. It's like, okay, seriously. There's no downtime. They're like pulling on you and dragging on you and, you know, crying and pitching fits and arguing and blah, blah, all this stuff. And then your husband comes home and it's like, what happened here? You know, what has happened? And so you become overwhelmed and tired and exhausted and all of these things. And it's so difficult because it's easy to allow your priority to shift to those things that are so important and so matter so much and are so dependent upon you for life that you sometimes, not intentionally, but you sometimes can shift your priority from your husband to your children. And it can become so destructive in your relationship if you are not willing to fight to maintain him as your first priority. Because let me tell you something, ladies, relational beings, all right? Just like with husbands, if they have the wrong relationship with their wife, it affects their relationship with God. Ladies, if you have a wrong relationship with your husband, it affects every other relationship in your life negatively. Every other one. And so I've heard, you know, things like, well, if I can just keep the kids quiet, if I can just do this, if I can just do this, if I can just do this, if I can make sure this is okay, everything in my household will be okay. No, it doesn't work that way. You spend all your energy on your kids and you have nothing left for your husband. If you do that, it actually will negatively affect your relationship with your kids. It just does. It's the way that it works. But if you really want to have a home that is at peace, I want you to see this, Proverbs 31, verses 28 and 29. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Ladies, when was the last time you walked in the door and your children were standing or sitting there, and the minute you walked in, they stood, and your husband stood behind them, and you walked in the door and they all went. Mom is home. This, oh, praise Mom. She's, oh. She's so awesome and so fantastic and so wonderful. I know some of you are going, I wish that would happen. I come home and dishes everywhere and laundry and kids are screaming. Let me tell you something. Ladies, this happens. Do you know how this happens? We need to go back a few verses and see what the wife did. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 12. Who can find a virtuous, and by the way, that is a powerful word. It means good. It means upright. It means ethical and pure. No manipulation. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can, what's that word? Trust her. And she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Do you see how it all started out? She kept her husband as her first priority. Not her only priority. She didn't let the kids starve or run around in diapers because they hadn't fulfilled their 10-pound weight. But she kept her husband as her first priority. And in that relationship, that allowed every other relationship to flow from it and maintain things the way that they were supposed to be maintained. Now, let me just say it. Let me just say this, ladies. That's hard. I am not saying, well, just get it right. No, I'm telling you, it's hard. It takes fight. It takes intentionality. It takes unbelievable strength to do it. But it's absolutely necessary. And I'll tell you, I'll just give you one thing. I'll just throw this out there, and then we're going to move on. For those of you that are at home with your kids, a lot of the time, dads, moms, whatever, let me just throw this little piece of counsel out for you. The best way to get that priority back is to learn absolute consistency with your kids. If no means no and it always means no, and you don't allow them to get away with stuff, and you don't give them a cookie to shut them up, it doesn't make quiet kids, it makes fat kids. It doesn't make obedient kids, it makes hyper kids. If you learn consistency, and is it hard? Yes, it's hard. It's really painful, and you're probably going to cry. But if you don't do it, it allows chaos to breed in your home. And you may think it's cute now that your little two-year-old little girl running around in her little skirt and her little boots says no to you. Wait till she's 17 and she's wearing a mini skirt, leather boots, and a halter top and says no to you. It won't be as cute then. Third thing, last one, ladies. Hand him the reins. Hand him the reins. You go, oh, I knew you were going to go there. Well, God goes there, so I guess we should go there. You said at the altar, however many years or months ago, that you would enter into a lifelong relationship with this man. Sometimes you marry someone because of the way that they look or they act. And then as you get into the marriage, they change. They don't look or act the way that they did before. And so in our minds and in our culture, that means that we can change the agreement. That's not the way it works. Marriage is a commitment that you not only made to your husband, but that you made to God. And in allowing him and handing him the reins, and see, by the way, it's not allow him to take the reins. It's handing him the reins. It's saying, I'm going to give you this. And you can even say, please don't wreck it. But you're to be his helper, his partner, his co-laborer, together moving forward. And if his role is to be the leader of your home and you refuse to allow him to lead, or as he leads, if he makes a mistake, and you go, I told him that would happen. Pastor Dave told me to give him the reins, so I gave him the reins, and look what happened. I knew you'd make a mistake. You know what? He's going to make a mistake. Guys, let's just right now be honest about the fact that we will make mistakes. Can we all say, yes, we'll make mistakes? Just right now. There we go. Now, see, I didn't say anything about your wives about not saying anything, so they may be looking at you going, oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to make mistakes. We are not perfect. But here's the thing. If you hand us the reins, and then you sit next to us and help us guide the ship, between the two, you'll be better together. Look at this. 1 Peter 3:1-5. In the same way, you wives, look, there's that word must again. Must. Accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. Without any words. It's not about nagging them to church. It's about living in such a way that they see your life and they go, I want what you have got. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Again, he reiterates, it's not about the exterior. The exterior fades, it falls apart, it sags, it drags, it gets bigger or smaller or whatever the case may be. But what comes from within your heart, your character, that is what never changes. And if you will focus on that, even as much as you focus on the exterior, if you spend as much time working on the inside of who you are as you do spending time working on the outside and what people think you are, your life would be altered dramatically. And he finishes, "This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful." And I want you to see this, ladies. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. Does it say they put their trust in their husbands and accepted his authority? Does it say that? It says they put their trust in God. Remember the very first verse we read this morning? Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be revered. Ladies, this isn't a slam on your husband. This isn't like, yeah, I know, because God says I can't even trust my husband. No, that's not what it says. It says that when you trust God, who is sovereign and in control of all things, then you can accept the authority of your husband. Because you know God will get him if he steps out of line. You go, well, that's not what it says. That's what I think it says. Because do you know who he's responsible to when he stands before God? God. He is responsible before God for you and for your children, if you have them or when you have them. And so therefore, when you trust God and accept the authority of your husband, it gives you the freedom to be who God's called you to be. You say, that's hard. I didn't say it was easy. And guys, if you want your wife to accept the authority of your husband, give her something to trust in. Make wise decisions. Ask for her counsel. Include her in on what's going on. Because she's your helper. And you need it. Because God made us for each other. The husband he made for the wife, and the wife he made for the husband. And ladies, God has given you such a vital and important role to play. And when you understand the power that God has given you, you can begin to use it for good and not evil. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the privilege of being able to understand and read your word. And God, I ask in the quietness of this moment for every one of my sisters in Christ here this morning, that role that you've given them to play is not an easy one. The fit that you've crafted them for is hard sometimes. God, I know that there are some women here this morning who are struggling being able to respect and honor, follow the lead of their husband because of some of the things that he's done, some of the mistakes he's made. But God, I pray that you would allow them to see a bigger picture of who you are. And that as they see who you are and how you are in control of all things, they would fully submit to you so that they can follow their husband. They can build him up. They can use that incredible power that you've given them in the relationship to redeem their marriage and get it headed in the right direction. And Father, I pray this in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.